You can just go into the tax records. Now, there's tons of software out there that you can look up different attributes of a property and be able to filter them down. The website I use is called Realist and basically spits out a list of all of the properties that meet this criteria.
You're listening to 5-Hour Real Estate Week, where you'll learn to consistently buy real estate in only 5 hours a week. So if you're ready to invest in real estate, achieve financial freedom, and own the lifestyle you deserve, even with your job, this is the show for you. Now, here's your host, Mike Butler.
Okay, hello there, and welcome to another episode of the 5-Hour Real Estate Week podcast. And today's topic is Winter Wednesdays. I'm Mike Butler here, and today's superstar is a remarkable fella that I've watched him just explode his real estate business, his family life, his quality of life, just across the board. And I am so thrilled that he has worked into his schedule, okay, some time to share his story, share his experience, his success, and resources on how he did it with you guys here today. So today's superstar successful investor is David O. I can't pronounce your last name, but everybody knows you as David O. So how do you pronounce your last name, David?
Yeah, we're not going to make anybody pronounce it. It's David Onanian. Everybody calls me David O. It's an honor to be on here, Mike. I appreciate you having me, and this is going to be awesome.
Well, cool. Let me tell you how I met David. I met him in a mastermind group that we're both involved in. It seems like it could be several years ago. And that mastermind group has done so much for me and for David, and it's got a whole different spin. It's not just focusing on growing your net worth or getting a whole bunch of money. It's like, how do you blend that in with life? And it's been remarkable. It's really been a game changer for me and David as well. But let me tell you, I've seen firsthand how David has blown the doors off in his real estate business, and he has achieved true financial independence for himself, not just himself, but his family as well. And both he and his wife now are both unemployable. How would you like to do that? Just imagine getting up every day and doing what you want. Okay. That is what we dream about. And so David dreamed about that. And so I recall the first time that I met David, he told me that he read my book and it was a major influence on him about pulling the trigger to invest in real estate. And this back when he had a job. So could you share your previous life, what it was like and where you're at today and what you did along the way, David?
Absolutely, Mike. So, I was raised like so many of us, told to go to college and get a job working for somebody else. And so that's what I did. I got an undergrad degree, went and got my MBA, and started working in IT at a big corporation. Spent over 12 years there just trying to climb the corporate ladder. And it seemed like every time I got a raise, my wife and I would go out and buy nicer things, right? Just like everybody else did. We get nicer vehicles, we get a bigger house, we end up buying a lake house, a boat, a jet ski, and all these things. And by the end of my career there, I was looking at my paycheck, and one day it would come in, and the very next day, it would all be completely spent on all of these payments. All this lifestyle that I had financed was now making me have to go to work for 40, 50, 60 hours a week in order to pay all the bills, right? And so I'm sitting here looking, and it's like, man, I cannot be stuck in emails and conference calls for the next 30 years of my life. That just sounds miserable. And what I was taught was to get promoted, climb the corporate ladder, get the financial freedom that way. That's the way society, that's the way schools have taught us to do things. And I found myself in a really bad spot, and I hit a complete wall at that point. I was totally unhappy with my job, totally unfulfilled, was spiraling into a depression, anxiety space, and things were not looking good. And that's when I started looking for another vehicle to get out of this thing. And real estate kept coming up, and started listening to podcasts, reading books. And I tell you, one of the very first books I got was this Landlording on Autopilot.
You got it right there.
Got it right here. It's on the bookshelf behind me with my book collection now. I was never a reader. I had only read books when I was required to in school. And I just found it completely boring or useless. And I started reading books that are going to teach me skills about how to become financially free. And I got totally addicted to it. And so now I read multiple books a month. But I mean, Mike, this book is amazing because What people don't understand is we have these false beliefs kind of installed into our minds, whether it's from like our family or our society or the education system. And we don't even know what we're capable of because we believe in these things. And one of the things that your book helped me overcome was the belief that being a landlord was going to be some complicated, stressful, unprofitable business for me, right? And this whole concept of being able to set it on autopilot and put the systems in place. And yes, we can screen tenants the correct way to have a maintenance-free tenant put into your property. It was just amazing. It had me starting to think, okay, what other false beliefs do I have that I'm just not even aware of? And so I just started buying books that tackle all of these different things. And over the years, I've accumulated so much knowledge from reading and digesting podcasts like your own. And it's just helped me grow tremendously to get where I am today.
One of the top three fatal mistakes of investors that I have accumulated over the years is number one is cash flow. And you need to know that. Number two is systems. You got to have systems. That's how you're able to put it on autopilot. But number three, you said it right there. And that's bad advice, especially from poor people. So these folks that tell you, no doubt you've bumped into people, you know, there's this stigma that's associated with the word landlord. Oh, problem, tenants, toilets, blah, 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 and all that. Well, the folks that are saying that, they didn't do it the right way. Okay. So when somebody says, oh, don't get into rental properties, man, I did that once and I bought a house, I fixed it up, put a tenant in there. And when they moved out, boom, I had another rehab project to do. So Here's what I tell everybody to say. How would you like to have a reply instead of just sitting there like during the headlight look with your tail between your legs? How would you like to have a response that is a home run, bases loaded, grand slam with a touche at the end? Okay. You want to know what that is? You can use this too.
Yeah.
Who gave them the key?
That's awesome.
That'll shut them up, won't it?
Yeah, that is so prevalent, Mike. Like getting advice from people that are not even qualified to give the advice, right? It's like, don't take advice from someone unless you want to be where they are in their life. And that's so true because when I started investing, I didn't know anybody that invests in real estate. All my family, all my friends, when they heard that I was buying my first investment property, they said, I'm crazy. I'm going to lose all my money, right? And it's
people at work said that too, didn't they?
Right. Yeah, absolutely. And so it's very difficult to take on that journey by yourself if you're in this camp where everybody's telling you you're going to lose, you're going to fail. So it's so key to meet people like you through a mastermind, get around people that are also doing it and being successful at it. It can be super helpful.
So when did you say adios and do the Johnny Paycheck song, take his job and
yeah. So when's the best time to start a business? When you have a job, right? So something that you can start on the side, build up so that you're not taking this leap of faith. You're starting to build your way out. So that's what I did. I started this on the side. I had worked in corporate for 10 years at the time, was getting a good pay, but like I said, was spending all my paycheck on all my finance lifestyle. And so started investing. Started doing the Burr method. I didn't have a bunch of capital to start throwing into investment property. So I needed to buy something, fix it up, refinance it, get my capital back out and go to the next one. And so I did that over the course of 2 years, got up to 10.
So when did you do that first one?
Yeah. So 2017, I bought my first investment property.
While working your full-time job?
While working my full-time job, I bought it off of Craigslist from a wholesaler who told me it was going to need about $20,000 to make it rent ready. Well, he was way off. And so over the next 6 months, I had a complete nightmare on my hands. It was over $50,000 in rehab costs and my savings account hit absolute zero. You know, wife and I were stressing, trying to figure out if something else was going to go wrong, how we were going to pay for it. So it was an extremely stressful situation.
That was a seminar.
Exactly. And so luckily was able to just sell it and get it off my hands and lost a couple thousand dollars, but gained a huge education on it, right? Everything that could go wrong with a rehab, I pretty much learned on that particular property.
All right. So if you had a bad experience there, what did you have or what motivated you to do it again?
Well, I didn't want to work at my job in a cubicle for the next 30 years. And so it's almost like you leverage the fear. So everybody's afraid that they're going to lose money when they do an investment deal. They're so afraid of that, right? So what I was more afraid of was that I was going to be stuck in a 9-to-5 for the next 30 years. That was way scarier. The next 30 years of my life were going to go by and be wasted versus me losing money on my first deal and taking some hits on the chin, right? And so got back up, did the next one. The next one is probably the easiest deal I've ever done in my career. It's just so funny how that happened. It was right off the MLS, bought something for $65,000. Paint carpet for $5,000 and it's worth $100,000 on an appraisal.
Yeehaw.
So that was a slam dunk. And so that got me rolling, put together a portfolio of 10 properties within 2 years.
Yes.
And that 2 year window is kind of, it lines up perfectly with being able to be bankable once you quit your corporate job. And you and I talked about this before we started the recording, but when I quit my corporate job 2 years later, I had rental history on my tax returns for the previous 2 years. So a bank can now look at me and say, hey, that's qualified income because I've got the history there so that I can get loans in the future based on now my rental cash flows.
That is awesome. So one thing I'd like for you to share with all of our listeners on here is the step-by-step how you, well, and your wife, but how you basically got to buy your dream home at a great deal and how you pulled that off. So what I'd like to hear about is how you did a search and this and that, because that's something that everybody on a call can benefit from, either looking for a new home that you want to upgrade to or even investment property. So tell us how you did that. That was remarkable.
Absolutely, Mike. So I just kind of, you know, my wife and I had this idea of a dream home, right? That we always wanted. And in today's real estate market, you're going out there to try to find your dream home. Good luck, right? There's like a month of inventory on the market. It's the biggest seller's market that's ever been in the history of real estate, pretty much. So there's 30 offers, 30K over asking price on every single property that's coming out.
You can't rely on the MLS to find
it. No, you can't rely on the MLS. You can't get anything off there that's going to be at a decent price. You're going to be competing, dropping your inspection periods, dropping your financing, all that stuff, right? And so I just kind of used some of my investor skills to be able to hunt down these properties off market.
Listen to this, guys. This is amazing.
Okay. So what I did was I just put together a simple postcard. So investors been doing this for decades, right? They send out the We Buy Houses postcard. What I did was I kind of personalized it. So I put a postcard together with a picture of my family on it and said, hey, we're looking to buy our next home in your neighborhood. We'd like to buy it as is. We'll do all the repairs. We'll pay cash. We'll close on the day of your choice. Make it super easy. No commissions. And so then I
got a question. Did you pay your kids a modeling fee so they could open up their self-directed Roth IRA?
No, but that's a great idea. Modeling fee for being on the postcard. I like
it. Yeah. Okay.
That's good.
Yeah. Tell us how you targeted who you're going to send this postcard to. That's amazing what you did there. Tell us about that.
You can just go into the tax records. Now there's tons of software out there that you can look up different attributes of a property and be able to filter them down. The website I use is kind of through our MLS here called Realist. But basically what I was able to do is say, hey, I want a 5-bedroom house. I want it in this school district. I want at least an acre lot. I want a swimming pool on my property. I want 4 bathrooms. I want a 2-car garage, and basically spits out a list of all of the properties that meet this criteria that are.
So what was that number?
Right. And there's about 700 or so properties that match that. So now I've got my mailing list. This is my hit list. This is the 700 properties that.
That's very, very laser focused and targeted, guys.
Exactly.
He's not just walking into the boys' bathroom, getting a wad of toilet paper and making it wet and throwing it and see what sticks, you know?
Right. So then I just put that on a simple drip campaign. So every 2 weeks, I was going to send this postcard to them over the course of the next couple months. And it never works on the first mailing. So you've got to keep it consistent. And what's funny about the house that we ended up buying, the first mailer that they got from us, they threw in the trash. And the wife told her husband that she said, this is a scam. This is a scam. But then the second time she got it, her husband says, well, why don't you just call to find out? Why don't you just call to find out? Because they were thinking about moving. They had some equity in their house, but they hadn't updated it. It had a lot of maintenance that needed to be done on it. And they wanted to take the equity from their house and go buy a condo and retire down in Florida. And so there's a lot of moving parts there. And really what an investor or somebody like me was going to enable them to do was, hey, pay cash for the house. And then I actually let them rent it back from me while they went shopping for their condo down in Florida. So now they've got the equity out of their house. They're still in their house while they're going to buy the condo down in Florida.
And they're paying you rent.
They're paying me rent.
Win.
Yeah. So this all went down. I think I started the mailers about a year ago, right before Christmas.
No, I did not. It was not W-H-E-N. It was W-I-N.
Oh, W-I-N. Win-win. Yes. It's always a win-win, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So you solved the seller's anticipated problems that they thought, well, if we sell it, where are we going to go? It was win-win-win across the board. I love it.
Absolutely. It was a really cool experience to be able to do that. And we got a house that we could fix up exactly how we wanted it. It's got everything that we needed.
Except
for the putting green, which is going in here shortly. So I'm excited about that. Be able to work on my short game, but yeah.
Wow. And now your wife is unemployable. You're unemployable and you're in St. Louis. Is that right?
Yeah, we live in St. Louis. Most of our rentals and stuff are here. Great market for cash flow here. We love it and probably going to be primarily living here for the rest of our lives, but we'll have vacation homes all over the place.
So how long did it take from when you made this decision to do this, let's call it a postcard campaign?
Yeah.
How long was it before these folks called you time-wise?
Yeah. I mean, this actually happened really quick. So like I said, sent out the mailers and the first one didn't hit for them. Right.
Okay.
So 2 weeks later, when the next batch went out, I did get the call. And so from the time I sent out the mailers to when the time I saw the property was probably about 30 days.
I was thinking a month.
Yeah. And then right after that, we sent them the contract, got it signed. And it was basically, it was a done deal at that point. So it really
kudos to you, my friend. Boy, if everybody cool listening about, on that.
Yeah. And what's cool about that process is that, hey, we're the only buyer in contention for this property. We paid under asking price. So I got an asking price out of them and said, hey, how much do you think the house is worth? They give you a number. And then I follow up right after that was, what's the least amount of money that you'll sell the house for? So now they're negotiating themselves again and they give you another number. And then, so then I give them my offer, which is a little bit lower than that. So I'm paying under asking price. I'm the only buyer in competition for this property. I get everything I want as far as terms in the offer. So I got an inspection period. I got my financing, appraisal, contingencies, all that stuff. My survey, my title work, everything is good to go. Whereas people that are buying off the MLS right now are writing down a number on a piece of paper and they're cashing the check for that, right? They don't get any contingencies because there's just so much competition. So,
okay. One other question. Was any real estate agent involved in your buying this, your new home?
Technically, no. I'm a licensed agent. So I had all the paperwork ready to go. So I didn't need to use anybody else.
You actually saved, the seller saved on commissions.
Exactly.
You had no competition, even in this seller's market where there's not enough houses for sale and too many buyers. So kudos to you. That is awesome. So that's a huge lesson learned here, guys, that anybody listening right now can take advantage of. And so right now you really can't find anything on the MLS. If you do, you're lucky. Okay. So tell us about the Wealth Agent product services where you get to help real estate agents all across America. How can you help them?
Yeah. So I mentioned I'm a licensed agent. I actually started just studying for my real estate license after I had a terrible experience buying my first home many years ago. My agent was absolutely terrible, had no idea what was going on. Yeah, it was dropping balls all over the place. So I had to learn the whole process anyway. So I was like, might as well go get my license because I have a bunch of family and friends that are going to need houses. And so I did that on the side, never, ever dreamed that it would turn into a career or that I would start investing in real estate or anything like that. Because, you know, that's a commission-based business, right? I liked getting paid every 2 weeks. That was security to me back in the day. But anyway, how that worked was I basically ended up helping a friend of mine buy an investment property. And he called me up. He said, hey, I want to buy this little POS property by the airport for $37,000. And I told him he was crazy. I said, you're going to lose all your money. I was one of those guys at the time. I said, you're going to be getting calls from tenants in the middle of the night, changing out toilets. I was preaching to him, but he still went against my advice and went ahead and bought this $37,000 property. So then I see what happens. He puts in $6,000-$7,000. It's worth $75,000. He refinances all of his money back out. He's got it rented out for $1,000 a month to three students at the local university there, who then tell him that they would like to pay their rent 6 months up front so they can pay for both semesters ahead of time.
Oh my gosh, what a problem.
Hears from them twice a year. He gives them a check for $6,000 each time, and he's cash flowing $600-something a month. And I'm like, what in the world just happened? I was like,
and I'll put so it, well, I had one other thing. That investor sounds like he's a sharp cookie. So I'll bet you, I'm not a betting person, but I'll bet you he has each of their parents as co-signers.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, that is awesome.
Yeah, so okay. Co-signed. So, I mean, he had this sweet deal on this thing, and it was his first property he's ever bought. And so I saw that and I was like, man, I've got to learn how to do this. And that's when I started reading the books and getting into the podcast, stuff like that. But long story short, now as an agent, I help other people invest. And so what I want to set out to do is try to prevent people from making all the mistakes I did when I bought my first property and I didn't have anybody to help me. So we at Wealth Agents, we act as a real estate agent that's going to help you buy investment properties. So we know what to look for when it comes to rehabs and cash flows and projected rents and ARVs and all that stuff that you need to know, and a second set of eyes to help you avoid making the mistakes that most investors make when they start out.
So is this targeted to real estate agents or is this targeted to real estate investors?
Yeah. So right now we're looking to add as many agents to our platform as possible. So we're right now out of St. Louis, but we're looking to expand into all the markets across the nation. So if you're a licensed agent, I'd like to have you go to joinwealthagents.com, where you can kind of find out more about what we offer you and can set you up as a real estate investments advisor in your own local town. And then on the investor side, that's kind of our client who we serve as agents, is helping them invest in real estate. As their real estate agent, we don't charge them any fees up front. We just get paid a commission when you close on a property, just like a typical real estate agent. But the typical real estate agent doesn't know investing. Only 9% of real estate agents actually invest in real estate.
I don't think it's that high. Probably lower than that. But here's one thing I want to point out to the real estate agents who are on the call. If you're thinking about this, if that's your job, okay. Now, David graduated from IT and he said bye-bye in 2019. Okay. Real estate agents, think about this. How would you like to have frequent recurring business? Okay. So if you're dealing with typical homeowners, they stay an average of what, 7 years? Is that right, David, about that?
It's going up. So it's 8 years right now.
8 years now. Okay. So you're not, odds are they're not going to call you back for another 8 years. But if you've got an investor on your list, okay, and then you learn what are the things that they're looking for and you can be their advisor. Oh my gosh. How many properties do you think, how many deals do you think you've done since 2017, David? Just ballpark.
Oh my gosh. At least 30, 40.
Yeah. And that's just a 2 year period. Whereas a typical homeowner, it's going to be 8 years. So how would you like, imagine that, having David on your list, you're his agent. He relies on you to be an advisor, and you're going to get repeat business over and over and over. So that's pretty good.
Yeah, Tell us, that's an awesome point. Yeah, almost none of our investor clients plan on buying one property from you. Like, all of them want freedom. That's what we're trying to sell here. And so they're trying to build up a portfolio of rentals to get them free. And Mike, like you say so many times, hey, 20 paid off rentals will get you that freedom. And so that's what everybody's working for. So we've got a couple clients of ours that have bought a dozen properties with us over the last 12 months. And so that beats the heck out of waiting 8 years for your friend or your family member to move.
That is awesome. So it's called, where to go now is joinwealthagents.com.
Joinwealthagents.com to kind of learn more about what we offer. And it's real simple to sign up. You just click a button on there. You can book a call with me. We'll get a one-on-one consultation to see if it's a good fit for you and go from there.
I can tell you this, guys, I don't know of anybody, broker, agent, what have you, that has a course or offers a service to train real estate agents to specialize in working with investors. Okay, they want to get those 20 nice rental houses paid for and do it safely in 3 to 5 years. I don't know anybody out there that's doing it. But, you know, if that's you, if you're a real estate agent and then you want to get your own 20 nice rental houses paid for and do it safely in 3 to 5 years, hook up with David and learn how you can be a better real estate agent and be the go-to person for investors in your town. And man, that'll just, whew, that is awesome. So give them your final words of wisdom there, Dave.
Yeah, guys, thanks for having me, Mike. This has been really fun. And for everybody out there, I just want you guys to know that you got to stay confident. You got to have a vision for what you want your life to become. And don't let anybody give you advice that is at a lesser place than you want to be. And so that's what I'd leave you with here today. And go out there and do big things and make it happen.
All right. Thank you so much, David O. We'll see you on the next one, buddy. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Glad you joined us for another episode of 5-Hour Real Estate Week. The best thing you can do now is put this information to action. To help you get started, Mike created a free resource for you called How to Buy 50 Houses a Year, Even with Your Job. Download it now by going to mikebutler.com/50houses. And we'll see you on the next episode.